This morning's reading is from Luke chapter 10. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan, and it's verse 25 to 37. So the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of others?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
Let's just pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for how each week we hear your word and we are deeply challenged, Lord, and encouraged. And I just pray, Lord, that as Paul preaches, that you would help him, support him with the right words to say, that we would receive your word from you. And Lord God, would you change us and transform us, Lord, that when we leave here today, we are not the same. Help us, Lord, with this message. Help it to go to our heads and our hearts and to lead to action. In your name, amen.
We're starting the new series today, and David's asked me to sort of kick off, so to speak, with the parables of Jesus and the parable of the Good Samaritan. Let us just think about Luke for a minute. He was a renowned writer, writing the Acts and of the Apostles, as well as the Gospel. He was a physician. And he was full of telling and recording the parables of Jesus. There are more parables of our Lord in the Gospel of Luke than in any others. And the first one he mentions is the parable of the Good Shepherd. When we think of this parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan, got that wrong, didn't I, for a start, you may, when these slides come up, find some deliberate mistakes. Now, as a friend of mine who used to pastor with me quite a lot, once said when he made these mistakes, "If you can spot them, don't tell me because I've already found them." There's a very simple one. I'm not a good speller. I'm good at maths and I'm good at other things, but spelling, I was never interested in English at school, and you might see it. For instance, the word "two," it's easy enough to spell, isn't it? It's misspelled. But we all get things wrong. I only noticed it last night when I flicked through the slides, and I'd already sent them off, so it's too late. Let us come back to this expert in the law. He may have been an expert in the law, but that was the Jewish law, the religious laws of that time. He wasn't an expert in the Roman law. He wasn't a solicitor. And he set out as we heard in verse 25, to challenge Jesus. Big mistake. It'd be rather like one of us going over to South Korea and taking on one of the world champions in skiing when we've never skied. To try and trap Jesus, he didn't realize what he was doing. But it was the worry of the Pharisees, the worry of the Jewish priests and leaders, that this man who to them was unqualified, was not accepted and appointed to any official position, was trying to put them in their place and trying to show them how far they'd gone away from God's word. We can draw our own comparisons today. We can look at how the debate goes on about whether there should be marriage in churches of same sex. We can look and see whether that is in keeping with Scripture. These challenges are similar to what this expert in Jewish law was challenging our Lord. Jesus recognized the question when he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he gave him an answer. What does the law say? And he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." Can anybody tell me where that first quote, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, with all thy soul and with all thy strength," comes from? Well, you just read it in Luke 10, but it originates in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. It's quite easy to remember, chapter 6, verse 5, one under, and the second part, "Love thy neighbour as thyself," comes from Leviticus 19, verse 18. And he was quoting these two texts together, quite cleverly. But if we turn to Matthew's Gospel, we see that a little bit before this, our Lord had actually quoted these two together. So he may have been with the other leaders of the Jewish nation there and heard how Jesus had put them together. And he was repeating this. Well, he might have been a bit cleverer and pulled them out himself to do it. But I don't think so. But then when Jesus asked him that question and he gave this answer, he was really asked and deflected. Jesus, very cleverly, have any of you ever been in sales? No, one salesman about there. That's right. One of the arts of selling, in my early careers, before I went into the ministry, I'd been in the science world developing equipment, and then I wanted to go out and earn more money. Scientists didn't get paid very much money in those days, and our salesmen were earning more, and I'd done a lot of training with them, so I wanted to become a salesman. I eventually became sales manager. But I decided that there was no sales training in our company, so I went and asked an insurance company, who I knew, one of their managers, if I could train with them, and I did. And one of the tricks in selling is to answer questions before they're asked. So if I wanted to sell you a yellow jumper or a jumper of any colour, I say to you, do you prefer the red, the green or the yellow? And you'd say the yellow. And I'd say, fine, then there it is. This is the size, it's yours. This is how much. It's sold. Because the questions you're asking are leading up to a yes or no answer. That's all you want. You don't want any long conversation. You want yes, no's, yes, no's. And you want yeses, really, more than no's. So as you ask a question, you go. Very, very interesting. I can tell you lots of stories about selling. But Jesus, this expert, was trying to trap our Lord. So he deflected Christ very neatly, deflected the question when he said to him, who is your neighbour? And he then went on to tell the parable that we're looking at today of a traveller who set out on this road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now Jericho at that time was full of priests and Levites. It really had become a place where they lived. And we have to remember that a priest in those days and a Levite was a person of quite wealthy standing in a society. His wages and income was more than the average wage at that time. So they certainly weren't poor. And this traveller had set out on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and on the way he met a gang who attacked him, beat him up, and left him for dead. Why? For their own greed, their own selfishness? They had no respect for life? We wouldn't expect the same thing to happen today. But our news is full, or was a few weeks ago, of people on scooters pulling up and grabbing phones off of people, trying to grab their handbags, spraying acid in people's faces. They weren't worried about the injuries they may be causing. They weren't worried about the effect on families and other people. They were self-centered and looking at their own interest. Just the same as these robbers were. And when they'd beaten the person up, they left him there to die. We know he wasn't dead, but they'd left him there just to be laying without any income, without any food, no clothes. He was left naked in the road. Does anybody know how long that road from Jerusalem to Jericho was?
About 12 miles.
17. Yeah. It's quite a long journey if you want to walk that. And while he's left there lying, who comes along? Ah, I missed a bit out. Today's world, leaving somebody on the road to die. That photo I took in 2006 when we were in Vietnam, and we were actually in a minibus passing by. And I took that out of the window. And that person had just been left. Nobody cared whether he was all right, injured, dying. Nobody wanted to know. He just stayed there. Is so much changed today? I don't think so. And a priest came along. And did he care? No, he walked by on the other side. Why? Possibly, we're not told, but possibly because he knew that if he was to touch a dead body, he would have to return, because we're told he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, saw the man lying there, crossed over and went round him. He would have had to travel back to Jerusalem, to the temple. He would have to go through a ritual of cleansing himself, having touched a dead body, and then travel home, back all the way to Jericho. A priest today, that priest there was a very good friend of mine. It was actually the first minister in this country that I ordained. And he's now in glory, and he certainly wouldn't have left anybody on the side of the road. But in those days, the priest was too interested in the time he would have to waste. Was he thinking of his wife having dinner ready? I know the feeling. Frieda knows it. Number of times I say I'll be home at 7, I've been home at 8, I'll be home at 9, and be home at 10. You know, when we're working for the Lord and doing the Lord's work, like each one of you does day by day, we have to choose, we have to decide what our priority is. Whether it's listening to what God is saying to us or thinking what we'd rather be doing. And this priest didn't really think about what his duty to God was. He was thinking more about himself, possibly his own stomach. He may have been days on duty at the temple in Jerusalem and was just now rushing home. He wasn't having any of it. But then Jesus went on to explain that he was too busy, too concerned, like we are today with modern day life tearing about everywhere, to really care sometimes for those that are in need. So a Levite came by. Now, a Levite, we can call him an assistant priest, but he had duties in the temple. He wasn't allowed to serve at the altar, but he had other duties, aiding and assisting the priests. And in the same way, we don't know why he was too concerned with himself to stop and help, but he was. Again, it may be because of the ritual and the need to return to Jerusalem. It may have been for the time he spent away from his family and he wanted to get back. And then a Samaritan comes by. The Jews had no real concern for the Samaritans. If today I was to mention the untouchables in India, you'd immediately say, yes, they were the lowest of the low classes. Well, in the time of our Lord, the Samaritans were considered by the Israelites to be the lowest of the low. They were not Israelites or true Israelites. They were people of mixed marriage, that had married non-Jewish people, and therefore they weren't to be considered within the Israelite nation. They weren't God's people anymore in their eyes. And yet when this man came along, a Samaritan, he stopped and he looked after and tended the wounds. He gave him some clothes to put on, and he took him to the inn. You may think his duty had finished there. He paid for the night's rest, and then the next morning he gave some money to the innkeeper and said, "Right, when I come back, I'll pay you any extra that is needed." And the innkeeper accepted it, because the man had earned his respect. He'd taken care of his neighbour. Who is your neighbour? It's difficult sometimes, isn't it? There was a quiz done a while ago to find out how people recognise and know their neighbours. If I said to you, "Who lives next door to you?" If I asked Tim that, it would be a friend of mine, so we know that. And if I asked you who lives opposite you, 10 doors to the right as you come out, would you know who it was? Aren't they your neighbours? Do we know our neighbours? Do you know who lives next door to the Chancellor of the Exchequer? Yes? Yeah. Good. You know, we know these things, but they live up in London. Who is our neighbour where we live? What are we doing to look after our neighbour? Reminds me of a story that was absolutely true. When Frieda and I were living in Wallington, some many years ago now, I was ministering at St. Paul's Ecumenical Church on Roundshaw, and our middle child, Charles, was working in London. He had quite a nice job at De Beers. And he would sometimes go out with his friends and go out for a drink, and they'd go for some of the clubs in London. And we knew that he'd be home 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, because he'd have to be up and off to work again the next morning. And one night he didn't arrive home. And we were getting quite worried. What's he doing? And then your mind starts going off, you know, has he got drunk? Not really like him. Has he had an accident? And he gradually, as the time went on and midnight approached and went, suddenly he arrives home. Because those parents here, you don't go to bed, do you? You know, you sit up waiting and wondering. And he arrived home, totally sober, quite cheerful, walks in without a care. "Where have you been?" "Ah, well." I said to him, "Well, it's no good our welling. What went wrong?" He said, "Well, we were walking down the street and there was this police car." And your mind goes, "Oh, help." And what they'd been doing was walking home, and one of them saw an empty can of beer in the road and kicked it. And the police saw it and stopped and went over and wanted to chat to them all. Well, the only sober one of the five that they'd stopped there was my son. So he took charge, apparently, of talking to the police. And he just simply said, "Don't worry, I'll see they get home all right. That's what I'm doing." And the police said, "Okay, we'll trust you." And he'd taken all five of them home, delivered them to their parents, and then come home himself. So it was a bit late. And that taught us a lesson. Never to start judging, even our son. Because I was quite proud of him after that. He'd learnt who his neighbour was. He'd learnt to care for those he was with and out with. And his wife now sometimes doesn't know quite when he'll come home, because if he's out with a crowd, he'll make sure everybody gets home before he thinks he's getting home himself. The Good Samaritan here was doing what he saw was right. He didn't have to think about it. He just did it. When we're asked that question, who is our neighbour, it's so easy to say, everyone. It's so easy to say, the person next door. But do we care about them? I could give you an example about a person who was in a congregation when I was in Norfolk, who had some learning difficulties, met a young lady, and they started living together after we moved down here. And he was a lay preacher in the Methodist church. They moved home. And he really couldn't organise the move. And he'd asked the family for help. His uncle was a pastor. The answer he got, "I'm too busy with the church work. My father's ill." Couldn't lift a finger. Is there a difference between that and the Jewish priest? Some areas in our life today have not changed. They're not changing where God is not the center of our life. They're not changing when we put everything that is of interest to us before we put God's will. He asked one of our pastors up there that worked with me if he could help. He's retired now, he's just a little bit younger than me, and he was willing to go fill his car up and move a lot of stuff, and what he couldn't move on the day, there was a removal van doing it, but they wouldn't take some stuff that they'd been told was rubbish, leave it. So he picked it up and put it in his garage. And about a week later, it was still there, and he had a burst pipe, and it flooded, and he needed to move furniture out into his garage. So he asked the same uncle of this person and the rest of the family that were all in the church whether they could come and take the stuff, so because he needed it. Sorry, we're too busy. It's sad that even within the church today, we tend to make up, or some people tend to make up their own rules on what religion, what Christianity is about. That Samaritan who was looked upon by the Jews as being a nobody was in fact the one who was putting God's will first. He was showing love for his neighbour. And the challenge I want to put to each one of us today is, do we show love for our neighbour? Or do we turn our back? When we see somebody sleeping rough, do we cross the road so we don't have to look at them? When we come across our neighbour over the garden fence when we're mowing the lawn or anything, do we have time to stop and engage them to see how they are? When there's an opportunity to give help, are we willing to do it? Or are we too busy and want to walk on? Life is very busy. Last week has been a very busy week for me. Next week it's not quite so busy. But there is no excuse when we come to face our Lord, and we come in our quiet time to bring our prayers to him, there is no excuse for not having time for him and for our neighbour. It's important today that we learn from the stories our Lord told 2,000 years ago, that they are just as poignant today as they were then. Who is our neighbour? The parable really is a challenge on two areas. It challenges us not to be afraid of helping people. And it teaches us to see each and every person as our neighbour. Each and every person is valuable and is loved by God, and therefore must be loved by us. We don't have, hopefully have time, if anybody would like to have prayer afterwards, there'll be some of us at the back to pray with them. Do feel free to come and ask anything you want to. And let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love for each one of us. We thank you for your message to us. We thank you that that message is relevant today in 2018 as it was in the time of our Lord. Father, let your Spirit move in our hearts that we may love our neighbour. Amen.